Blog Talk Radio.
Because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. This is now the 186th class of Soul Class. Today's theme, in an impromptu fashion, has been designated as Independence Day? Independent from what? But right now, we're all dependent on listening for a couple more seconds. So Isaac Witton's Here Comes the Time from his Generation Redemption. We'll just cue it down. And okay, it's now July 5th, 2012. And on the Hebrew calendar, the lunar calendar, it is the 15th of Tammuz, 5,772 years blazing into creation. Hope everyone had a pleasant and peaceful day yesterday on July 4th. Which would mark 236 years since the signing or the Declaration of Independence by the people living in this land. I just want to tie this into Torah Gematria from the Spice of Torah Gematria by Gutman G. Lox. The numerical value of 236 relates to the Hebrew word ladaber, which is found in Genesis chapter 17, verse 22. It is a time, blessed souls, of reevaluating the concept of independence, the day of independence, and is it possible to be independent every day, but not independent from our responsibilities, to incorporate our responsibilities as human beings, as part of the family, human family experience, all blessed and anointed with a Tzelem Elokim, a divine image. It's also very interesting, the expression Hakiruhu, which is found in Genesis 42:8. It is a time for us to know the Most High here living in North America, and as well in Vayikra 24:15, there's an expression ke'ezrach, like the native homeborn. Now, most of us who are not of the Native American tribal nations are either coming in my family pedigree, so to speak. We came from Eastern Europe, Russia. And so it is time for us to recognize, although I was born myself in Hartford, Connecticut, that we must consider as well an Independence Day for also the native-born Americans here who also call America by another name that preceded, and I'd like to find out anyone could give me the source for this, but I've heard this from one American Indian. The North American continent at one time was known as Turtle Island. With that being said, blessed souls, hopefully we'll make a blessing now that this should be a day springing off yesterday, July 4th, as a day we become independent from the negative attributes of Sina, hatred, Kina, jealousy, and Tachrut, unnecessary competition, one person against another, but rather in human unity predicated upon a belief in one true creator. So I want to present to you now a humble presentation of 22 bullets of information, firing off to hopefully be received and penetrating your blessed mind, soul, and spirit within your blessed heart and mind. And here we go. Bullet number one. And this relates to this week's Torah portion, which is Parshas Balak, the Torah portion of Balak. There once was a man named Bilam, as many people would associate him in the English as Balaam. Bullet number two. He lived over 3,000 years ago. Bullet number three. He was a man who served as an advisor to the most powerful man on earth, Pharaoh, Melech Shel Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt. Bullet number four, after Israel left Egypt, traveling to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, there came a point in time when they were informed it was time to live in their own land. And eventually, Balaam or Bilam would confront Israel en route to their land in order to try to stop them from entering the land, and with the intent, if he could have, God forbid, he would have destroyed all of the nation of Israel. Bullet number five, along the way to the land of Canaan, as it was known back then, in fact, the name of Canaan is in fact one of three names generally associated with that land that the Israelites were given by the Most High. Number one, Canaan, as we mentioned before, Canaan, the land of Israel, and after the destruction of the Second Temple, one of the Roman leaders wanted to try to erase away from human memory, and he so woefully failed, to call it Palestine. Now, along the way, the travels and the tribulations, the tests that the children of Israel were to undergo, accompanying those tests, trials, and tribulations, there were nations with unnamed leaders and leaders appointed by nations who attempted to stop the B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, from entering what the Torah describes as the land flowing with milk and honey. The names of those nations and the leaders of those nations are mentioned in the Torah scripture in the five books of Moses. And some of the nations we'll just mention briefly are Amalek, Edom, who are tied in a family way with Edom, the Amorites, the Amori, who were one of the seven Canaanite nations, and there were some individuals and leaders appointed as mercenaries, and examples of this were Og, who was an ancient warrior who had lived actually from the times of Abraham, the first Jew, Abraham the Ivri, Abraham the Hebrew, and also, I believe his son was Sichon. And last but not least, Bilam, or Balaam, who was talked about at length in this week's Torah portion. If I didn't mention before, that was bullet number six. Here comes bullet number seven. Now, Og and Sichon were men of great physical strength, we're just pointing this out parenthetically, who instilled fear in the hearts of their enemies, like Goliath, who struck fear in the hearts of the Israelites in the time of the reign of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, until the shepherd, composer, prophet, and eventually king of Israel, Melech Yisrael, Na'im Zmirot Yisrael, sweet string of Israel, David, struck him down with a pebble and a slingshot. Bullet number eight. So why is it, blessed souls, we are told the story of Bilam? Not a man of physical prowess that would measure up to the Anakim of ancient days, the giants who Sichon and Og, or Og and Sichon, father and son, were actually Anakim, the giants from the ancient days of the early history of the children of man. Bullet number nine, because, blessed souls, we want to understand the reason why the story of Balaam, who tried to curse Israel, is mentioned in this week's Torah portion, in fact, was that he was a giant in regards to spirituality. But alas, unfortunately, Bilam's spirituality was the wrong type of spirituality, predicated upon hatred, jealousy, and unnecessary competition against Moshe personally, Moses, the great Levite prophet, and the children of Israel, the entire nation. And this serves the fact that we learn in this week's portion of the rise in the ascension and quick descension of Balaam, the evil prophet, for the nations, and internal instruction for all people, that while physical enemies may arise, spiritual enemies can arise as well to cause havoc and death in potent fashion as well. Hashem Yeshurun, Hashem Shagaris. Now, we do know they were good prophets of the nations as well. We have Adam and Chanoch, Methuselah, of course Noach, and in a certain sense also Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, were also in a sense prophet for the nations, and also Job or Eov. So there have been many good prophets for the nations as well. But Bilam was manifested in a certain fashion, according to his free will, to be hired essentially as a spiritual mercenary, hired by another mercenary, Balak, who was appointed, who was of the nation of Moab, or Moab, as he himself was appointed by the elders, the Ziknei Moab, to fight against Israel, that the children of Israel should not wind up in the land of Israel. That was bullet number 10, if I didn't mention it. Bullet number 11, yet we see in this week's Torah portion of Balak, which begins in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 2, and concludes in chapter 26, verse 9, not only did Bilam not curse Israel, the Most High forced him to bless Israel, as it is written in chapter 23, verses 9 and 10 in the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar, quote, "For from its origins I see it rock-like, and from hills do I see it. Behold, it is a nation that will dwell in solitude and not be reckoned among the nations. Who has counted the dust of Jacob, or numbered a quarter of the fructifications of the seed of Israel, Yisrael? May my soul die the death of the upright, and may my end be like his," end of quote. Bullet number 12, when Bilam spoke of the counting of Jacob, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, from a mimer dating back to 1958, Tavshin Chasyud, discussed in brief, quote, "The eventual dwelling in solitude is referring to actually to the future redemption of the children of Israel via our righteous Mashiach, Messiah, Lion of Judah, Ariel Shel Yehuda, who will roar out Torah Chadashah, a dimension of Torah that has never been revealed." And as well, this is also pointing to, if the nation of Israel is redeemed, the nations of shall also be redeemed. Point, bullet number 13. Yes, at the time, under the leadership of Moses, the children of Israel had in fact tasted something of the ultimate redemption, but not the whole picture. What they had tasted was sovereignty over themselves as a nation, freed from the bondage of Israel, but they still had no sovereignty in a land of their own, which eventually they would inherit and receive, and even fight for, under the leadership of Yehoshua bin Nun. In contrast to today, where there is a nation of Israel, as we are, as a people, and there's also Medina Israel, the modern state of Israel, which is serving as a viceroy, so to speak, protective entity for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people as a whole, and hopefully very soon will give over the keys to the capital city of Jerusalem and the rest of Israel to Mashiach himself. No, blessed souls, I am not one of those who believe the state of Israel is the beginning of the redemption, based on teachings of Rambam as elucidated by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. However, hopefully, as I'm just speaking out parenthetically, as long as Jews, Ken Yerbush, Shlita, continue to live in the Holy Land, that the land should become more Jewish or more Israelitish, which means to be lived according to the Torah. Bullet number 14, this was uttered by Bilam or Balaam, the verse that we just mentioned, or the verses we just mentioned in chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. So the verses uttered by Bilam is ultimately addressing a higher quality of redemption. So ironic that the man who came to curse Israel would be harnessed like a bit is inserted into a horse's mouth, to lead it according to the will of the horse's owner, in this case, according to the will of the Most High, and not to be pulled off the path by the horse, meaning there's no way Bilam could pull off the Most High, from the path that the Most High, in His own wisdom that is unknown to us, has decreed to be from the beginning of time until the end of time. And that was bullet number 14. Bullet number 15, another point to look at concerning this prophetic verse is that Bilaam mentioned Jacob's name and Israel's name, Yaakov and Yisrael, which are the two names of the patriarch Jacob, Yaakov. Bullet number 16, if one were to go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 29, one learns more about why Jacob's name was given an additional name, and sometimes considered to be the essential name, and other times the name Yaakov or Jacob was considered the essential name, why he was given the additional name of Yisrael, and you can just go there and see for yourself. Bullet number 17, interesting, we find that Yaakov or Jacob is likened to dust. And while his grandfather, Abraham, was blessed, his offspring should be as stars, as it is written in Genesis 15, verse 5, quote, "And he took him outside and said, gaze now towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, quote, so shall your offspring be, end of quote." Now, Jacob, Yaakov's father, whose name is Yitzhak. And Yitzhak was the son of Abraham, and the blessing that he received is mentioned in Genesis 22, verse 17, quote, "like the stars of heavens and like the sand of the seashore." Yet, Yaakov was blessed to be that his offspring will be like the dust of the earth, as is mentioned in Genesis 28, verse 14. And you can read the verse as following, or you can just listen in, blessed souls. Quote, "Your offspring shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall break forth powerfully, westward, eastward, northward, and southward." End of quote. Very interesting, blessed souls, that in bullet number 18, we take note very carefully, blessed souls, Jacob or Yaakov was blessed not only to be as abundant as sand, but to emulate the self-effacement of sand, as it is a primary substance that human beings, animals, insects, and even water walk upon, pound upon, crash upon, or is covered over by substances as diverse as water, concrete, steel, and vegetative, and of course, inanimate matter. Bullet number 19, blessed souls, yet that consciousness of self-effacement, of bitul, as we would say in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, empowers the dispersion of the Jacobic, Yaakovic consciousness of the one true Creator and making this world a more pleasant, more peaceful and pleasant habitat. Bullet number 20, reverting back to the two names mentioned in Bilaam's prophecy, Jacob, Yaakov, and Israel, Yisrael, is actually, as Lubavitch Rebbe brought down in that Hasidic discourse, as I mentioned before, are actually two names or qualities of the neshama, the nefesh, the human soul. Bullet number 21, Yaakov, Jacob is a term standing in its strength, testifying to chachma, wisdom, which is actually embedded intrinsically within the human soul. Israel is a term standing in its strength, testifying to the soul's spiritual actions, passing the trials of living on earth, whether the trials were purposely directed to that soul by Hashem, the Most High, or consciously or even subconsciously directed towards that soul by other human souls, in the trials that human souls are very well known to place before other human souls to test their moxie, to test their strength, their fortitude. And we go to, in our concluding bullet 22, blessed souls, what is written in Book of Numbers, the Midbar, chapter 22, verses 16 to 18, quote, "They came to Bilaam and said to him, quote, so said Balak, son of Zippor, quote, do not refrain from going to me, for I shall honor you greatly, and everything that you say to me I shall do. So go now and curse this people for me. Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me a house full of silver and gold, I cannot transgress the word of Hashem, my Creator, to do anything small or great. May we conclude, blessed souls, before we segue out with My Brains Fall Out by David Dohm, a blessed brother in soul from England, that all throughout the history of the nation of Israel, and this is also put to the children of Noah, that there has always been a consciousness to try to either give us a bad name, to curse us, try to physically destroy us or destroy us spiritually. Yet we see, even in the roots of these wicked men, such as Balak and Bilam, they cannot transgress the word of Hashem, my Creator, to do anything small or great. By the way, I think we have a special guest caller who was our co-host yesterday on Soul Class, Heart to Heart, class number 184. Let's just call him in. Is that Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock?
Hi. Boy, this show is riveting.
Well, actually, we're concluding.
One bullet after another, huh?
So maybe you want to add a little. I think I served the main course. If you want to add the dessert for the sense of tainug, delight for the blessed souls listening out there, Eliezer.
Well,
and also
First of all, I didn't really want to disrupt you. That's why I waited till you got through all 22 bullets before I said anything. And I simply wanted to say that I just want to add one or two quick points, if I
mm-hmm.
could. First of all, I want to say Gros Yashikar to the Jamal family who, this last in June, this past month, their son, after matriculating for 15 years in a yeshiva, graduated with a degree in Limudei Kodesh, which is the Hebrew studies, and Limudei Chol, the English studies, and is the first student to have done that in the history of the yeshiva world, period. Because, and why? Because David was born 18 years ago with Down syndrome. And I had the great merit, to have worked with this family from the very beginning, from the time the child was born, right up until his eighth grade graduation and through to his graduation last month. It's one of the most unique things that's ever occurred, and it's an accomplishment that I think we can all be very proud of, especially the Hanhola of Yeshiva Ateret Torah, which is in Yerushalayim. I'm on my way there, here in Flatbush, and for the family and for the Hanhola and for the teachers, the faculty, and especially for the students. This week, I just wanted to mention to you, just as by way of PS, which we're very delighted to find out that the Jewish Press ran an article and a photograph in there. So if anybody has the Jewish Press, they can take a look at the article. It's in the middle of the paper somewhere. And
you mentioned page 46 to me.
Page 46. That's right. I didn't want to misquote the page. I didn't remember what it was. Thanks. Page 46. And I think what we have to remember is that the whole universe was made only for your journey, and all the universe was made only for the other guy's journey. And for mine as well. So in our mind, it's impossible. We're finite. When we put our minds to one idea, there's no room for another idea. And if one point is at the center, there is no center left or any other. God is infinite, and he can have as many points of focus as he wishes without diminishing the centrality of any of them in the slightest. And each one of us is absolutely the most important thing to the universe. And to that end, I must say that David has proven that point. David Jamal, who is going to go on and continue to learn his learning in the Beis Midrash, and will continue on in his college studies, which is the university version, the yeshiva version of university. And the Mirtz Hashem, the mileage of this program, which is so amazing, is that the children and adults who graduate from such a program, it's the first time it's ever been done, but he has friends. And he has friends that are phoning him, and they're calling him, and they're not calling him because they belong to a chesed group or because they
right.
because they were done. It's being done because, the people are volunteers or something. These are friends for life. And By the way, just to that end, and now quickly get off your out of your way because I want to hear the rest of this beautiful presentation on Parshas Balak, which is one of my favorite and most interesting because of all of its hints and references to the Davidic dynasty of Mashiach. I just want to say that Mendy is making, my son Mendy, who is who just turned 18, is making Aliyah on Sunday. And, you know, I'm taking him, and my granddaughter is going with us. She goes every summer to Israel. But he's going with us. He's making Aliyah. And what's so exciting about this is that he's actually he actually understands exactly what's going on. He understands that, you know, and you have to understand, Mendy is not what they call high functioning, quote unquote, but he functions at a high level, if you get my picture.
yes,
and
yes.
So therefore, you know, it's very exciting for me to be able not only to be going to Eretz Yisrael, and you know, not only that he will be reunited with his sister, but that he understands what's going on. And my final point is that on Tuesday morning, I just figure I throw in a plug for this. Tuesday morning at 9:30, you and I do our regular broadcast, which was put off till noon this week because of some technical and logistical problems. But Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 9:30 New York time, and 4:30 in the afternoon, 1630 hours in the afternoon in Jerusalem, we will be doing our broadcast. I'm landing in Lod, in Tel Aviv, at 4 something in the morning on Monday. 4 in the afternoon, I'm going to be at a bris in Kiryat Malachi. My cousin Yoni Fine, who's a well-known singer and entertainer in Eretz Yisrael, had a son, and Mirtz Hashem, we will be joining him at the bris. And then Tuesday afternoon at 4:30, or if you're in New York or anywhere else in the world, it's 9:30 in the morning New York time, and we will be doing our broadcast from there. And I hope to be able to bring some really exciting news and of the day. And maybe even that, you know, maybe we'll even have Mashiach come on and greet everybody and welcome everyone back to Eretz Yisrael. Anyhow, that's it. I just wanted to say that. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Continue on doing your great work. And, you know, 22 bullets, every Jew at 22, we should have, you know, only Simcha, you know, we should have Wedded Geffen, Gesund, Parnassa, and Nachas.
Amen.
And we should all, you know, soon see the big Simcha in Yerushalayim.
I mean, Elias, I just want to mention just two quick points, just sparking off what you just said. As far as David Jamal is concerned, I think it's so appropriate you're talking about him in this week's portion, Balak, because in his own individualized, unique, and superhuman way, he is the antidote to the Bilaams and Balaks in the world. And the second thing is that picture that you have posted of Mendy making Aliyah on Sunday, pictured with the well-known, internationally known, and all-around decent human being, Avram Fried, I posted it on my timeline. And I want to tell you that I got positive feedback from Leif Stigander of Mississippi, El Mugondo de Amar, this person is from South America, from Tel Aviv, Israel, Margarita Catherine Dutoit, enjoyed the picture. Sadrin Kiradi, I think if she's Jerusalem, Shlomo Ben Chaim of Israel, Mud Aliyah is somewhere in the creation, Laszlo Sontag is from California, Northern California. Tzvi Friedel wrote a very tasty piece. He said, I just saw a post about Lady Gaga concert here in my hometown, then saw this picture of Avram Fried and Mendy, and then he said, one false glitter, this one for beauty and truth.
Wow.
So
wow,
you know, and there's
wow.
some other people. Let me just
nice.
Mention a couple other people's names. Let's see here. We have Karin Christensen from Europe, I think from Sweden. Sariel Singer, producer from France. And from an owner of King David Judaica of Las Vegas, David Judaica said they like this picture. Actually, I think what they really should have a love option on Facebook for pictures, Eliezer. But I want to thank you for coming on. I want to remind everyone that you should connect every day to Hashem in the most significant way that you understand, and what you don't understand, please turn to the Torah, and it will help you understand even more. We're going to conclude now with an interesting title to a song called My Brains Fall Out by David Dome. But I think after you hear this song, you'll want to keep your brains in between your skull and above your neck, and everyone should have a great day. Hav echad, one love, gorel echad, one destiny, kulanu for all of us, b'darchi shalom. in a peaceful way, Udar Chinom, and in a pleasant way. Take care, everyone, until we next reunite in time, soul, and space for the human family experience to uplift it, to greet Mashiach in a peaceful and pleasant way. Take care, everyone.
Amen.
Without a doubt, I'm so open-minded that my brain